All right.
Was,
yeah.
Okay, so it's opening?
Yeah, so yes, here we are.
It is.
Theology.
Good morning.
Theology on the street.
I know we are not in a, you know, usual place. We are on the street of Karachi.
Woohoo! Karachi! Wow. Okay. And we are not alone, right? Because we have, usually we have brother.
Yeah.
And now we have beloved sister.
Because today is a Woman International Day, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Happy
yes.
International Women Day, yeah, Reggie. So. Can I go Regina or Reggie also only?
My name is Regina, but my friends call me Reggie, so I'm good with both.
Yes, so.
So, yeah, Reggie is from Pakistan, Karachi.
Karachi.
Yeah, Karachi. So Karachi is considered as the largest city in Pakistan, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's one of the biggest commercial hubs. We have industry, we have the harbor, we have a lot of trade and commercial activities from Karachi, and it caters people from all over the country for work, for a better future. It's like
a metropolitan city, isn't it?
It's a metropolitan city with a very cosmopolitan lifestyle.
Yeah.
You will find every race in Asia in Pakistan. You will find in Karachi. You will find a lot of languages spoken even from the bordering countries. You will find a lot of tastes in Karachi. You will find a number of religions in Karachi. So we are, it's a very accommodating city.
Yeah, it's like a salad in a bowl. What do you call
salad
that?
Salad in a bowl, yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Very colorful, too.
Colorful, too, huh?
Oh,
so, you know, Reggie, not so many people are aware that Pakistan is, you know, it's actually is quite safe country, because what we heard, you know, the media, they always talk about, you know, the danger.
But, yeah, about the war.
The war, maybe. And Malala News was like,
exactly,
hit the, you know, the top of the news. So everybody think that, oh, Pakistan is the world of Malala, where the woman cannot go to school, where the war is going on every day. Can you please correct us or tell us more about
Pakistan.
The situation there?
Okay. Well, so Pakistan is a mix of everything. Again, media, of course, they need stories to run their shows, so they exaggerate a lot. But we've been living here for the past 28 years in Pakistan. Prior to that, I was in Saudi Arabia. I was born and brought up there until high school.
South Arabia?
Saudi Arabia, yes.
Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia.
Oh. Yeah. So we shifted back to our country in 1990. And since then, you know, there are good and bad sides. We've had the chance to have a good church life here, which we did not have back in Saudi Arabia. And community living is good here. The diversity of cultures is very good. The languages, food, like I said, it's modern in some parts.
It is modern,
it's conservative in some parts. But it's not that we are not free to exercise our religion. Women can't go outside. They can. In big cities. Now, even in the smaller cities, they're doing everything. I mean, they run their businesses. Yeah. They're entrepreneurs. They're studying, they get higher education. I got all my higher education from Pakistan. I did my master's from the University of Karachi. And I've been working here, driving. I'm very independent, and so are so many women around me.
Yeah, so, and I'm looking at, you know, looking at you are as a single woman, right? So it's like really like out of a picture of, is there a single woman in a, you know, a Muslim country like Pakistan, and she can have a career, you know?
Exactly, because so far we heard that usually
women have no
rights to
opportunity.
To have opportunity, but No, what you say is totally different. Yeah, yes. I mean, Pakistan is very free. I mean, like for women.
It is indeed. And especially, like I said, the bigger cities, where there is a lot of urban exposure to work, to industry, to many things. We have different cultures and we have different zones. However, yes, the places like where from Malala came, like you said, are conservative societies. And we are a mix of both. So yes, in some areas we are bound, at others we are not. But now most of the smaller cities even are encouraging women to study, to go for further education, to work. And you know, like from a teacher to a services officer, high-ranked services officer, we have all blends. So it's just that we have a lot of, I mean, a lot of political upheaval. And to some extent, fanaticism as well. So when the two mix, then it's the same like what you have in Indonesia,
right?
Or Malaysia, or Sri Lanka. It's the same kind, but it's not that. And in the urban settlements, women are living alone as well. So, you know.
Do you have a woman leader in the country, in the government?
Yes, we have many women leaders in the country, from health ministers to education ministers, and time to time we've been the first. Benazir Bhutto was the first.
Benazir Bhutto was from Pakistan.
She, women prime minister in Pakistan, and she was one of the youngest women to have secured office in Asia.
That's the youngest. And a woman.
And a woman in Pakistan. She was the first woman in Pakistan to rule, to be in the government in a ruling position. So we've been, we've had our sides.
So not all area are like the Malala area.
Yeah, because sometimes people judge Pakistan only for one
area, and then it represents the whole country.
Exactly. So we have to clarify.
Do you have fun facts about Pakistan, right?
Well, a lot of things we check it first, and it's very interesting. I would like to ask you about about the APM. You know, I read it here that Pakistan has the highest APM in the world. Is it because Pakistan has a lot of mountains?
ATM is?
ATM is when you draw money from the bank.
Oh, okay, okay.
ATM machine. Yeah, it's a Pakistan bank. The Bank highest. Of Pakistan is the highest ATM in the world.
And we have a lot of ATM thefts as well. So most of the machines are placed on roadsides, public spaces, and there's a lot of threat using the ATM machine. And probably, we have a lot of ATMs around. And it could be during, where the mountains are, those places were very remote until they've recently started developing the areas the past 10 years or so. And
the development of infrastructure.
The tourist departments, yes.
Oh.
The north of Pakistan is beautiful. It's exceptionally beautiful.
The north?
I mean, you just... The north areas, the upper northern part.
Is a high mountainous area.
Very, very. We have three largest mountainous ranges in Asia, in the world.
It's surrounded by high mountains, right?
Yes, the Himalaya range is there, then the Karakoram and the Hindu Kush. The three largest in the world.
No wonder the ATM is there.
I want to go to the highest ATM in the world.
And we draw money from there.
Yes, yes.
It's like, it's like a climbing a mountain, you know, the highest ATM in the world.
No, the highest peak does not have an ATM. So you'll probably have to take your money from
It is the information on the internet. Yeah, yes. So the highest. Well, again, what is your profession, Reggie? What are you doing to living?
Okay, I work for a pharmaceutical company. I am a science graduate, but I started off from clinical trials coordination in the medical department in the same company. Mm. And then I moved on to the management side, and now I'm the senior executive assistant to the country chair.
Ah, senior executive assistant to the country chair.
To the country chair, yes.
So quite top.
Yeah, it is the senior most office in the company. And my boss looks after operations and general management across the country. So.
Mm. So do you deal with vaccine and everything now, Reggie?
Yes, we do. We do. We have a very full-fledged vaccine unit, which is a separate unit. It's called Sanofi Pasteur. And and we are working. There's a lot of research going on for COVID-19 as well.
Wow. So is Pakistan planning to have their own vaccine, to develop their own vaccine?
Actually, my company is French-based. So we have our research centers in France and our global office in Paris.
Okay.
So we get all our directives from there.
So, Reggie, can I ask you, is it difficult to be single
in Pakistan?
And
very successful.
Very successful. And you're Christian.
And a preacher.
Well, and a preacher also.
Well, if you talk about the masses, it is. If you combine being single, being a woman, and being a Christian, it is difficult. However, I come from a very different family background. I have been very well supported by the men in my family, my father, my brothers. And, I do give this example time and again, especially to all my male friends, mm-hmm. that if they're supportive, their women can excel. If they're not supportive, then they will have to face the brunt. But it is difficult. I won't say it's not difficult. It is very difficult when you talk about the masses.
Right, because some, we can be a threat to the, male dominant culture, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Yes.
Mm. So. Can you share with us just one thing? The challenge that you face every day as a single and
a woman and a Christian.
Well, I wouldn't say that I've faced a lot of challenges being a Christian. However, being a woman, there are things, like I said, that there are zones where there's less acceptance for women empowerment. So when we talk on a corporate level, mm-hmm. A lot of them refuse to hear us also, because we were women. And when I started my ministry work some time back, and I started separating from the shadows of my male support, the first thing was like the cult in the church, why a woman speaks.
Mm.
So
that's true.
And then again, with ministry work, there are zones where we can't go wearing sleeveless or wearing jeans, or they have their cultural values and a lot of cultural values. So if I don't have a headscarf, I mean, I can preach without a headscarf in my church.
Yeah,
but I cannot preach without a headscarf if I'm visiting one of the remote settings. So there's a mix. But yes, again, I've never been subjected to any challenge being a Christian more. Yeah. But yes, being a woman, yes.
Oh, that's great. So, you know, you are not, I mean, full-time serving in the church, right? You have your
professional
life in a pharmaceutical company.
Pharmaceutical, yes.
Yeah. That's why I'm so slipping the pharmaceutical company. And then how do you feel your life between Monday and to Friday and then Sunday? How do you reconcile that? Because a lot of people think that ministry is only in the church.
Yeah, separated.
From Monday to Friday, it's horrible.
Can you say the same thing?
Not well, in the office.
Okay.
It's the way you balance your life, and it's the way that the way you train yourself to fit into different roles.
Yeah.
Obviously, with the exception of today, from 9 to 5 or probably 6 in the evening, I'm totally dedicated to my workstation. Whether or not I'm working from home, and these days I'm working 3 days from home and 2 days in attendance.
Oh, okay.
So that time is a dedicated time for my work. And whatever I have to do for my ministry or my socializing or life with friends or family, it's always after that, my work hours are ended. And it's mostly in the evenings or very early in the morning. So this is how I balance.
How do you see your work also as part of your ministry to God?
It's a very good question that you've asked. We work in a non-Christian setting.
Yeah.
And we work with the majority that are not of faith to us. They do believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in him being a savior or the commitment that we have now with him.
Yeah.
So it's through our work and our character in a workplace that we can prove our worth as being different, as being a Christian.
Yep.
And as being, you know, so it counts a lot of honesty, faithfulness, our character, our persona, the way we carry ourselves. You know, since we're working in a majority setting of non-believers, and we're also working with men, so it's very important in places like ours to be very conscious about how we dress up. How we present ourselves, how we talk to people, how we lose talk, how we don't, how we talk about our faith. And we have to be very, very balanced here. We cannot talk a lot about our faith very openly, and it's not ethical also. Of course, in my company, they have barred us from political and religious discussions, but this is not the case everywhere. We follow the multinational standards and culture that prevails in my office. So I've been very fortunate in this sense as well. But overall, throughout my career, throughout my student life, I have never been hit like a Christian, because I think I have managed to carry myself well.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
I think that's the most important thing, how you carry yourself being a role model, being a picture of God wherever you are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you have to be you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With them.
Yeah.
So it's difficult, but you do manage, and a lot goes to a lot goes to this journey with extreme faithfulness.
Right. And you have to maintain your integrity, right?
In that,
Yes.
Ah,
true.
So do you see working in that, you know, not everybody like have that kind of opportunity. I mean, opportunity and also understanding that I am representing Christ in my workplace. So do you see the way you are now as the, what do you call that? Executive. What is your
position?
Senior executive assistant.
Senior executive assistant as the calling from God?
I do see that. that ways, because there were a number of people who were working there prior to me. I was just 2.5 years old in the company. Yeah. I was very new. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even go through the process of, the interview, or I was just picked up by the country chair, my former boss. And he said, he discussed it in the management committee meeting, and he said that he wanted me to be his assistant. So I do see it as a calling from God. Yeah. I do see it as a good way of excelling as a Christian. It's a good example of working with excellence. And it's also a good example to say that Christians are pushed back in such countries.
This is a really good statement
of faith as well.
Yeah.
And of the integrity that I maintained for 2.5 years that I was
By all means, you are not, I don't say that, because by all means, you, human standard, you know, you are not, I don't say that you're not qualified because of your ability. Of course you are. But because you are Christian, you are a woman, you know, it could...
Yes.
In Pakistan, the majority Muslim country. So it's not like, the position should be, you know, from someone from the majority category. Yeah. But it's kind of a miracle that you are there, you know, despite all your integrity and achievement and everything.
Yeah, true. I do agree. And also there's a lot of hard work involved, and there is also good education that's involved. And the more you put in your work, your work is your ministry as well.
Yeah,
you have to maintain a certain level of integrity even at work.
Yeah.
So that is how I see it.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I want to ask Camilla, we come back again. Three of us here are singles, okay? We're singles. Do you find any insecurities of being single in Pakistan in your age now? For us, sometimes, in my family, I come from Chinese background family, there always be questions, when you are going to marry it? Please don't choose.
She has a lot of social pressure.
Exactly.
So if you find a handsome, good-looking, and successful Pakistani man, want to Chinese Indonesian?
Most definitely, yes.
Okay, let's go back to the question. I forgot the question now. Okay, do you face any insecurities in yourself of being single in your age now, and especially in Pakistani culture?
Personally, I am not insecure because I'm very well placed at work, and I have a good home life.
Yeah.
I have a good social life.
Yeah.
But many are devoid of these, right? And many are not allowed by the men they are surrounded.
Mm-hmm.
So, they are barred even to choose their work. So, which I was given a very free hand. I could go wherever I wanted. I travel a lot.
Mm.
I am very independent. Mm. I have friends who are very single and very very mobile. So for me, it does not apply much.
Oh.
But yes, we do have women who are insecure, who have family pressures and who have peer pressure as well.
Peer pressure.
So, there are restrictions. I've been very fortunate to have been born in a very good home.
Yeah.
So,
that's one of the
key. That counts a lot.
Yeah. That's the key of being content.
Exactly.
While you are single in the midst of the culture who, look down on a single woman, you have to have your dignity and contentment in the Lord. Yeah.
True. I agree. I agree to that. Yes.
Hmm. Yeah. So, we met in Cyprus.
Mm.
When was it? I forgot, Ricky. When was it? What year was it? I'm really bad on, you know, number and...
Cyprus, 3 years ago, isn't it?
No.
No, it's a long time ago.
It's not too long. 2019.
Yeah,
this year we will complete 2 years.
Yeah.
So both of you are in the same ministry, right?
Yeah. In Langham Preaching International. Okay. And Ricky was just appointed as a member of Women Advisory Board. For Langham Preaching International.
Oh, tell me about that. Tell me about it.
Yeah, she's representing all of us, the woman preacher in Asia and the Pacific.
So you are my mom.
I am a mom to so many kids in my church as well. Most of them are young, and apart from when I got this offer for the advisory role with the women. I also got the advisory role for the youth simultaneously.
So,
that I think had been a calling for me, a very wonderful calling, because I had been very, very puzzled when the first session happened in Cyprus, and I was introduced to so many women, wonderful women who were pastors, who had a very specific background from different ministries, and they had been working as pastors, they had been teaching, they had been, a number of them were very well placed as certified ministers.
Yep.
And I was none. So. I did not have a theological
background.
So no theological degree, no nothing, just some ministry work with Langham.
You have a heart for that.
I took it as a blessing, but I kept questioning myself, why am I here?
Yeah.
And once I got back, I started working very actively with the women in my church, which I was already doing, but then the aggression was there more, And then God gave me signs and started telling me every now and then, especially when I prayed for an event with our women's group, which is a very small group in my church. So, something kept telling me that this was my calling. And then I started shaping. I did a retreat for them early 2020. And soon after, the lockdown was imposed. So the women in my church were very happy that we got a chance to do that. So we had a very good retreat of about 2 hours. And then during the lockdown, we supported each other on the WhatsApp group and on personal calls as well.
Yep.
I'd been discipling 5 young women from my church, which these women are also part of my youth group. And so blessings overflowed. And I just didn't know. And now I get the answers why I was in Cyprus.
And Reggie, how do you see the importance of training young preacher, young female preacher, in a, not only to develop the church, a Christianity, but also to develop a nation? So do you see that
important
connection? Yeah.
I believe it's very, very important. It's extremely important. And mainly it's because once you have the direction, then only you can. There are a number of women in my women group and in other women groups. See, we belong to a very culturally impacted society. So women are not free in many ways here, right? So, you know, a proper training can give them the ideas of where they stand.
Yeah.
Both religiously and culturally as well. And yeah. Women in the biblical times were also not free.
Yeah, yeah.
But yet they managed and they maintained.
Yeah.
So yeah. Each time I talk to the men in my church or in my ministry settings, I always go back to the Journeying Together session we had in Cyprus, right? And we learned so much about how men and women have been journeying together since those days, since the biblical times. They've totally excelled. They've been doing their ministry work without hurdles. But I would say that see, home life work balance is very important. But so is proper training. Had I not been trained in Cyprus, I wouldn't have the idea to quote different examples from the Bible of how women have been journeying together.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they've been doing it right from the days of Adam and Eve. So,
Yeah.
Great.
Yes, great. Okay, yeah. So, Last questions.
Wait from
you. Do you have another fun fact later? I want to ask about the last questions. What is your, since, you know, in the world, the concept of beauty is so corrupted, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, it's indeed. So corrupted. You know, people, you know, doing a lot of plastic surgery.
Yeah.
And wasting a lot of money. Yeah. And I don't know about the Pakistan. Is that, you know, the view on the beauty? What is the view, your view on beauty, or the Pakistan's view of, you know, woman beauty? And then if you can have a word of wisdom for the young woman who's feeling insecure because of, you know, I'm not beautiful enough, please tell us.
Yes. Yeah, so I would first start with my perspective.
Yeah.
And then I will answer your question, Dewey. See, I believe that beauty is through your soul.
Yeah.
You should have a beautiful soul to reflect your outer beauty. The latter part is, yes, women are very conscious, and our societies are such that make them conscious enough.
Mm.
Like in my part of the world, fair skin, like what Pauline has, is very favored.
You know, so I really want to have tan skin, you know? Cannot make so it.
That is, and she's that is one of, you would be surprised, but fair skin is one of the basic criterion for a good proposal.
I agree. Yeah.
So, in our society. Yeah, so then, and I had been under an accident in my house, and I was burned. I shared my story with the women in Cyprus. And I was about third degree beyond 70% burned. I had to undergo multiple surgeries for bringing me back to life, right? So when I speak with women in my factory or my office, or women in my ministries, I always tell them that you do not envy me because with the way I look, but with the way I am. And that comes from within you.
Wow.
So that is a link that you should have a beautiful soul. You have a very faith contrite soul. You have.
The scars is even still in your face, right? You are not only the whole body, was it? Or?
Yeah,
I was pretty badly done.
Oh. How old were you?
When I was 4.5 at the time. Yeah, and given 4 to 5 days maximum a week to live.
Really?
Yes.
So your life itself is a miracle.
Yeah.
It is a miracle, yes. Ooh. It is a miracle.
Wow.
And okay. And then when I was about 28, I was diagnosed with a corneal disease. It was a rare disease.
Hmm.
And following which I got... it's where your cornea loses shape and the eye loses focusing.
Oh.
Right. So then I was, I underwent two corneal transplants in both my eyes. And I've lived with disabilities and I still continue to do that. But I do manage my work and other things. So like I said, it comes from within. And yes,
you are a truly wonder woman, Reggie.
Transformation is partly due to your faith, and also the rest of it is due to your perseverance and how you see your life in that faith. So I've been very fortunate. You know, I don't know whether this interview required the statement. But yes, Lancome will be one of the biggest faith statement that I've ever had.
Oh,
glad to hear that. Yeah.
Closing.
Well, can you recommend us the delicious dish that Pakistani have that you know probably?
Yeah, because me and Dwi, we have a similarity about food. We are a food lover.
Yeah, we are exploring all okay. kinds of food.
Yeah, so tell us about the best food in Pakistan.
So, well, if you can handle spices, then biryani is something that we have as almost a national dish here.
Okay.
It's biryani. It's rice cooked with either a beef curry or a chicken curry, but everything is mixed together, right? So one is that, and then we have different savories and chicken curries and beef and mutton equally. And
How about dessert?
The desserts are really good. We have among the very famous are the sweetmeats, which is a variety of sweets prepared different forms, mostly with milk and condensed milk, and then there's a rice pudding, which we call kheer.
You make me hungry now. I think it's time for lunch.
Yeah. This is the right time for lunch. 12 o'clock in Indonesia.
Okay. So once Dewey is in Pakistan, I promise I'll let her have the taste of all these goodies.
Not only Dewey, if I come to Pakistan also, okay?
Maybe. You're most welcome, Pauline. You're most welcome.
You know, insecure already. Because you only said...
I will take you to the mountains.
All right, great. Thank you so much,
Reggie. It was such a blessing. In this, you know, Women's International Day, we are celebrating your life, your ministry.
Yeah, oh my. Yeah. I'm very honored, very pleased to be with both of you, Dewey and Pauline. And again, it's God takes us to places to be in a certain place.
Yes.
So that is what I truly believe in. Had I not been in Cyprus, I wouldn't have, I probably would have met Dewey sometime later, but not that early because the lockdown happened and Dewey's plans to Pakistan got canceled.
True.
So we were destined to meet, and I was destined to be encouraged to be in a women's ministering role, to be advocating for so many women in my church and in my youth groups, even in my office setting.
Yeah.
And so I take it as a pure honor and a calling from God.
Amen.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, Reggie, probably we can have another Zoom meeting if you don't mind, and we talk about Bible story and Hina.
Yeah. Okay.
We do it.
Yeah. I'd love to do that.
Yes.
So we have to I'm not a Hina artist, but
but you do really well. Everybody was lining up waiting for her.
Since I'm good at drawing, so I was able to manage a few designs from the Hina art that Tui carried with her. And yes, we should have another meeting. We should meet together.
Yeah.
And I will share wonderful stories. A colleague of mine, who was a doctor and is a doctor by profession and was working, still working with pharmaceuticals in the marketing area, has taken up and learned the art of henna artistry professionally. She does an amazing job. And she holds exhibitions too.
Okay. That's good.
Let's do it.
Henna is a very full-fledged art back home, back in our place.
Yeah. And now in Indonesia also, wedding?
It is an integral part of our weddings and, you know, the bride's hands and feet.
Yes, true. And
they have beautiful.
I'm excited. Okay, Reggie, thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time, Reggie.
Yes.
You're most welcome. Thank you. Have a blessed
day. We had a good time in the street of Karachi.
Absolutely.
We were exploring so many things. The ATM, we're exploring the...
the food.
Yeah. I mean the beauty of
Pakistan,
the role of women. So
it's amazing.
Yeah, the street Karachi,
so rich
and teach us so much about life and faith.
I think I will just do those small videos for you of the streets and let you have.
That's a good idea.
Let us know.
A road show of how it looks like.
Yeah, around you. That's good. Thank you so much, Reggie.
So, see you again.
See you.
You most welcome. Yes, see you sometime soon.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay, see you in Theology on the Street.
Bye.
Bye. Stay blessed.